and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 5, verse number 13. The Lord is going through the Beatitudes, as we know them, the blessings of the Lord, and the state of those that are in the midst of these different attributes. I think as reflected here is a progression of the child of God, the one that is saved and that becomes a child of God, and how through proper growth and in their life, these are different things that they have attributes about them and are faced with. And then in verse number 13 of Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus changes gears a little bit and tells us about the children of the Lord in the earth, in the world, and what the Lord uses to describe our effect upon the world. It says in verse number 13 of Matthew 5, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." We are the salt, the children of God, believers, those saved by the Lord, are the salt of the earth, the seasoning. Now you think about salt, and we'll just mention it one more time. Salt is a seasoning for food. Any kind of meat, if you don't have a little bit of salt, it's just not as good as it is with a little bit of salt. A little bit of salt makes a great difference in the savor of different foods. Vegetables are that way too, or any recipe that would be made from meat and vegetables and that. A little bit of salt is a savor. It's a blessing. It's an enjoyment. The children of God upon the earth are a blessing and a glorification unto God and make the difference. Otherwise, the world would be filled with violence and evil, and there would be no difference in the world. And that would be completely and totally despised by the Lord. If wickedness prevailed in every person and every heart upon the earth. But the children of the Lord, scattered, as few as they may be, scattered upon the earth, make the difference as the Lord looks on at the earth, as the Lord is merciful and long-suffering, and as he works his plan. There's another aspect about salt, not only the savor of food, but the preservative that salt is. Salt keeps down rot. It's just that way. And as I mentioned last time, it's coming on to hog killing season here in December. And they're going to slaughter and butcher hogs. And they're going to use salt to cure out their bacon and to cure out different parts of hams and such as that. It's going to be used in abundance. And maybe even people will still have salt tables where they would take different cuts and rub that salt in and then bury it in the salt to preserve it. Salt is a preservative. The people of God on the earth preserve the world from destruction. There's going to come a time, there's going to come a day when the people of God are going to be removed, and the Lord is going to do just that. He's going to begin bring judgment and destruction upon this old earth. And so he says to his children, "You're the salt. But if salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If salt is not salty, there's not a second salt to make it salty again with." And I know that's kind of a tongue twister, but salt stands alone. Sodium chloride stands alone in its savoring, enhancing ability to enhance the taste and to preserve. There's no substitute. There's nothing that if salt has got to become unsalty, you can take and make it salty with again. It stands alone. The Lord says here, if salt has lost its saltiness, if the children of God do not reflect the glory of God within them on this earth, there's nothing else that'll take its place, and it's good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. The only thing that it is good for, salt that is not salty, the only thing it's good for is for gravel, for road pack. That's all it's good for. That is all that it is suitable for, because you don't want to decorate it with it because it's ugly, and you don't want to put it on a field because it'll cause it not to grow. The only place to put it is on the road, where people will walk over it, and wagons and horses, and in the context of the day, would trot it underfoot. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. And so now the Lord says, not only are you salt, but you're light. You're the shining. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here we could see about the individual light of the believer, not a little flame that within them was fanned and was brought to a greater light, because when you're dead in trespasses and sins, there's no flame burning. But by virtue of salvation and the Word of God, the working of the Spirit, and salvation by the Lord, the preaching of His gospel, and sinners receiving such, and repentance and faith, the great mystery of the working of God and the salvation of sinners, there is indeed a light that shines within the believer by the Spirit of God living within. A difference is made. And what that is, the Spirit of God living within, God is light, John tells us, and declares unto us in his epistles. Jesus Christ's name, one of his names, is the light. And so we, the children of God, are a reflection of the Lord, his light shining within us. And as it says there in John chapter 1, the light that Jesus is the light that illuminates men. There's no other light. Just like there's not a substitute for salt that is equal, there's nothing that lightens men like the Lord. And the Lord shining within the saved sinner is a light of Christ into the world. The Lord says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And he knew that because Nazareth was on a hill. You can't hide it. You can't hide such a city. As the lamps burn and that elevation lifting that up, the light shines across and up and even down as a city is lifted up. And then he comes to verse 15. Not only is the individual shining of the children of God, but there's also the shining of the Lord's church, the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church, where the Lord has saved sinners and brought them together under that authority that he gave that first church there in Jerusalem, and coming on down through the centuries, and the authority of baptism and the holding of the oracle and word of God. There in the church, the children of God, having been baptized, scripturally baptized, and a member of the Lord's churches, shine forth for him. A city set on a hill. Neither do men light a candle, verse number 15, and put it under a bushel. No, they don't. They put it on a candlestick, representative of the Lord's churches there in the book of the Revelation. That is the design of the Lord, that sinners saved are to be baptized by one of his churches and serve him in one of the Lord's churches in a scriptural New Testament Baptist church. You set your light, your candle, upon a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. It shines. It shines forth to the brothers and sisters that are at hand in the church. It shines unto those without that are in need of Christ or in need of surrendering to the service of the Lord and his design. The Lord says, let your light so shine, verse 16, before men, that they may see your good works. And as a brother just recently preached in Titus, that the apostle admonishes Brother Titus as he pastors people and seeks to ordain other pastors in the churches there in Crete, that they teach that the children of God be careful and be zealous to maintain good works. Good works not to brag on ourselves, but good works to be obedient to and serve and worship our Lord indeed. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, because that's the purpose of it all. Not self-glorification, but glorification of our Lord, God, Savior, and Father, God Almighty, the great I Am, which is in heaven. We seek to glorify and praise Him. Verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So the Lord Jesus, having dealt with these beatitudes and then having dealt with the saltiness and the shining light that the children of God are and the Lord's churches are, and the difference, the preserving and the savor before God that they make in this earth as the Lord looks on. He says, now listen, I've not come to tear down the law of God. I've not come to tear down the ceremonial law. I've not come to tear down the civil law. I've not come to tear down the moral law or any other law given by God unto Israel. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or what the prophets have written, what the prophets declare. I've not come to destroy that. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's the reason I've come, is to fulfill these things. Because see, moral law, civil law given to Israel, ceremonial law, it just wasn't filled. That which is commanded by God unto men has not been fulfilled. We failed. That's what the law is for, is to show us that we are failures, and our sin all so drags us down and makes us so incapable of being able to obey God and His holiness and His righteousness, that the holiness, what His holiness and His righteousness demands, we just cannot meet it. We cannot meet it. And the law shows us that. Jesus says, good news, I've come as a man not to destroy it, but to fulfill it, and praise be to God for it. For verily I say unto you, in verse 18, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He says, the end of time is coming, but before them, as a man, as God has commanded mankind, I am going to fulfill the law of God in every way. I tell you, glory unto God in the highest that He sent a Savior for sinners. See, this is how those by repentance and faith that receive the Lord Jesus Christ can be made as if they've never sinned. By justification, by the imputed righteousness, the gift of the righteousness of Christ given to the sinner that is saved, that receives Christ. Praise be to God for such a Savior as this. Well, see that our time is past for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.